When I was doing my Radnet year, which was like the big year, except the big year didn't happen in those days, and so I did Radnet with Ichthus, and we went to Norway, because they've got links with Norway. And we went to a place that's just outside Bergen, and the churches that we were involved with were centred around Bergen, and it was a really difficult place, actually, spiritually. You wouldn't think so because it all looks so lovely, but it was really challenging. And they were saying that it's very normal for people to go to church, and it's very normal and the done thing to be confirmed when you're kind of 13. But it's not normal to have a real relationship with Jesus. So it's like you're trying to say to people, you need to know Jesus, and they're saying, but we are Christians. And that is a huge barrier. Actually, in some ways, it's more difficult than people who've never heard of it or never been to church. It was really tough. So, I mean, this awful thing that's happened, if there's any redemption to come out of that, then let's hope it is that people realise that actually what they've got already isn't real, and that they really do need to know Jesus. So, yeah, do pray. The guy that ran the church that I went to was called Shell Martin. And he was such a lovely guy, him and his wife, a young couple with kids, and they are busy planting churches and doing very well out there, actually, but, yeah, need to remember them. Talk is called Forgetting and Remembering, and I've been getting a bit nostalgic lately. A few things have happened that have made me a bit homesick for the Midlands, and... my mum as well, she went off to an area where she used to live and went to a house that she used to live in. And it was a bit sad, really, because the people hadn't really looked after the garden that she used to put so much work into. And so, you know, getting nostalgic isn't always a good thing, is it? Going back and trying to, you know, remembering things like that isn't always a good thing. When you've loved a place and it isn't how you remember, it can be hard. But if our memories are of good things, then memories can do us good. Memories can be a good foundation. And I've been doing Holiday Week. And it's amazing how many people have been doing it for years and what good foundational memories people have. One of the families that always comes, she was saying to me that this... that she's been doing it, I don't know how many years she's been doing it, but that her kids have kind of grown up through and now they're all teenagers and they're all helping. And she said to me, this is the only thing we do in the year that we do together. And in some ways you think, well, that's sad, but, you know, household full of teenagers, it's not that unusual. But isn't it brilliant that they do this together, that this is their one thing that they do together, and that obviously the memories that have been built into that family have been, you know, have been good. It's been a good foundation for the future. And I think that testimony can be repeated many times by lots of the people that help and lots of the families that help. And we often say things like, kids are the future, and it's important to give them fun and affirming memories. But when it comes down to it, as we grow up, most of our memories are a bit mixed, with good ones and bad ones. And we can be a bit selective. We can get nostalgic over the good times and forget the bad times. Or we can get a bit sad about bad times and a bit bitter even, and not remember the good times. And the enemy likes to lie about our past to us. When I was at the Pioneer Conference, a lady came over actually and sang over me prophetically, which was really, really powerful. And the Lord just showed me some pictures of my childhood. If anybody had said childhood to me, I didn't have a desperately unhappy childhood, but I probably would have thought of a couple of not so happy things. You know, I didn't get on with the kids in the road always or whatever, you know, just something like that. But the Lord just showed me these pictures of me as a happy child. And it was like he was saying, but what about this time? And what about this time? And what about this time? And they were good times, you know. And it really, it sounds a bit daft, as these things often do when you try and tell somebody else what's happening. But it was a real healing. It was a real good thing to me. It is about healing and redemption. The Lord doesn't plan bad things, but he does redeem them, and he brings healing to us, and he can use what we went through to strengthen and build into what we've become and what we can then move into. He uses us, and he'll use you with all your stuff, whatever that stuff is, whether that stuff was bullying at school or failed relationships or financial problems or whatever it was, sickness. We look back at things and we can either feel a bit condemned about it or a bit bitter about it or whatever. The Lord doesn't want any of those things to happen, but life happens. But he can bring good out of them. Romans 8:28, but in the Revised English Bible, which is a good translation of this particular verse, and in everything, he, the Holy Spirit, cooperates for good with those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's a bit closer to the Chris Forster version. In fact, it's more or less the Chris Forster version of that verse. The Holy Spirit wants to work in cooperation with us to bring good stuff out of the circumstances of life, to redeem the circumstances of life. Our future isn't already written and unchangeable, but God has made us in a certain way to enjoy certain things, to have different strengths and gifts, so that we will be happiest pursuing certain paths. Paths. Ephesians 2:10, one of my favourite verses. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our weekend away in September, the main theme is going to be to help people discover or become more confident in their gifts and their strengths. So we're not striving to succeed in something that we're not suited for, but we're moving in the will of God. The will of God, that is a broad, joyful field of dreams. And it's not a narrow path. A broad, joyful field of dreams. Paul prays in Ephesians 1. And now I need to find it. Ephesians 1, 16 to 19. I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the suppressing greatness of his power toward us who believe. The hope of his calling, that our hearts may receive that bright revelation that just brings us hope. And as we understand the wealth of God's investment in us, he's put valuable stuff in us because church is his plan A. We're it. So he has put good stuff in all of us. That's the way it works. He wants to bring his help to the world, to Marlowe, to Norway, to individuals. Jeremiah 29:11, famous verse says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. The passage is about God's people seeking him so that he can work his plans, his good, full of hope plans out in people's lives. In Philippians 3, 12 to 14, it says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In this passage, Paul talks about forgetting what's behind and reaching forward and pressing on to lay hold of what's ahead. So that phrase, lay hold of, the words mean eagerly seize. So that for which Jesus has eagerly laid hold of him. Jesus is eager about us. He's excited about the things that he's put in us. He is excited about the things that he's equipped us to do and the possibilities that we can work on together with him, the things we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit in to bring good out of. Paul isn't nostalgic for the good old days. Nevertheless, the Lord obviously took this zealous, energetic and passionate guy, this guy who was a disciple of one of the top rabbis who liked intellectual discussion and who actually was prepared to be violent for his beliefs. But he took all that person, and he put him through this Damascus Road experience where he met the risen Christ, and he kind of pulled him through all that, and he gave him love and compassion for his fellow man, perhaps in a greater degree than he'd had before. And then he sent him off through Europe. Go on, spread Christianity all the way through Europe. So he didn't lose his personality, but he went through an experience which redeemed it and sent it off. And, well, we know the rest of the story. So Paul isn't forgetting what's behind in the sense of he blanked it all out, but he's able not to get nostalgic about his past while he walks in the good of it, because God has redeemed it and God can do the same for us. Memories can be double-edged, but the Lord wants us to be able to press on with confidence, knowing that he's given us gifts and strengths to take us into the future that enable us to lay hold of the prize, and he'll be with us in it all. Philippians again, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can be confident with Paul that God won't let go of us. We may have ups and downs in our faith walk, but he's always willing to draw us to himself to finish what he started. We have free will, but he has constant, faithful, long-suffering, always believing, kind, patient, never failing love. So there's our free will and there's God's love. There's no real contest. So we're going to pray. We're going to take communion in a minute. Well, there's lots of things to pray for. But one of the things to pray for is just have a think about that. Just have a think about everything that he's put in you. And maybe they're good memories, maybe they're bad ones. But the Lord can redeem them and pull them through into your future in a new way. And so, yeah, we'll pray about that as we take communion later.